This is the Rich Eisen Show.
The Spartans are sweet again.
Congratulations on advancing.
I'm not sure seats matter like they used to, Rich.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
Eric Musselman has his shirt off.
My wife, you know, she let me know that was not a good thing, not to do it again.
Earlier on the show, Bengals tackle Orlando Brown Jr. Still to come. Princeton head coach Mitch Henderson. Buccaneers quarterback Baker Mayfield. Bears wide receiver DJ Moore. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Hour number two of the Rich Eisen Show on the air. Fun show in progress. If you missed the first hour with Orlando Brown Jr. talking about moving from the Super Bowl champs in Kansas City to the Cincinnati Bengals now and chopping it up with us in a highly entertaining conversation, don't worry. We re-air right here on the Roku channel as soon as we're done, and we've got two more hours to go. As you heard, DJ Moore of the Chicago Bears is going to be joining us in hour number three. Baker Mayfield, former teammate of Orlando Brown Jr., will told a story when they were at Oklahoma together that I guess, did he say his car had gotten repossessed? Pretty much. Is that what he basically said? And to get his car note paid off, he knew he would. They'd only require half of the note to be paid off if Baker Mayfield just showed up to ask for it because he's so popular on campus, and he did it. Fun story. I don't know if I'll bring it up to Baker, but Baker's now got a lot of other stuff going on in his life with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, and he's going to be joining us on this program shortly. But we kick off our second hour with the head coach of the Princeton Tiger basketball program in the Sweet 16 for the first time since the mid-60s. This team has definitely caught the eye of so many people and no doubt on the radar of Creighton as they take on each other in the regional semifinal in the South in the Louisville portion of this bracket that his team completely busted for a lot of people. Mitch Henderson, the head coach of Princeton basketball here on the Rich Eisen Show. How you doing, Coach?
I'm doing great, Rich. Thanks for having me on.
Has anyone had the temerity, and I use that knowing that you would definitely as an Ivy Leaguer understand it. Does anyone have the temerity, Coach, to tell you and complain to you that you busted their brackets? Has anyone actually done that? They have.
All the time. Even my own children.
Really?
I think you go into the tournament, at least for us, 9 days ago, we were fighting for our life to make the tournament.
Yep.
And you arrive in Sacramento, you know, we kind of, in one way, we were hopeful to go on a plane ride. In the Ivy League, you travel all your games by bus. And, so we wanted to get on the road. And then, you know, the difference between us now and us a week ago is now we have a team that has almost completely changed. And they believe they can beat anybody. And you can say that. I mean, I probably would have, too. But if you watch, I think that seeds... the seeds are what they are, but if you watch the way the games are played, if you watched our games, you know, you can see there's a very physical brand of basketball that we play. We out-rebounded both of those teams, and we score more points in the paint that's successful in a tournament. So I'm really proud of our guys, and we're hopeful to keep this thing going.
So you didn't really bus from South Jersey to Sacramento, California, right? You didn't do that.
No, we flew. It was a great flight.
Okay, good. I just want to make sure that we're all cool on that front. How does this team remind you of yours that you played on, where you shocked the world on UCLA and just one mere victory in the tournament back in your day, Coach?
The similarities are that we both kind of got to the tournament. You know, we had to earn a spot, and it was tough to get there. And so you were fighting for your life throughout all of January and February to make it. The difference is, though, that's about it. I mean, this is a really physical team, not that we weren't. I certainly wouldn't want to say to myself and my teammates weren't physical and tough, but now we're not. We didn't get any backdoor cuts on the weekend. We beat UCLA on a backdoor cut.
Yes.
We out-rebounded, as I mentioned. We've got a really physical team, and that's been by design, Rich. I mean, I really sort of aimed when I got here. Like, I wanted to, you know, there's a lot of honoring of Coach Carrillo and the way we play, but spacing, physical play, playing smart and together, but tough-nosed defense is what got us where we are. And so I would say that we're built differently with personnel, and I think that's a good thing.
Do you ever hear Coach Carrillo's voice in your head?
Constantly. constantly. I'm actually walking around Chadwin right now, the gym, and Coach would say, he didn't use a whistle. He would say, yo. That was how he addressed
it. Well, he's from Pennsylvania.
He said,
he's from Philly, right?
Yeah. He's from
Pennsylvania?
Yeah, the Lehigh Valley,
sure.
The Allentown area.
Okay.
And, I hear his voice all the time, and whenever everybody gets around, it's each other, the former players, sort of who can do the best Coach Carrillo impression.
Mm.
And he was equal parts cutting and his great sense of humor. He could be really tough on you. We were out in Sacramento where Coach spent the years after he left us. He was with Jeff Petrie in Sacramento when they had those really Sacramento teams in the 2000s. And they were like, he was great. You should have seen him. He was, Coach Carrillo, he'd come over to my house and swim in the pool. And I'd say, who are you talking about here? Who is it? What guy is this? He was a really tough guy to play for. But I got back, and one of the cool things, Rich, was I got to spend the last 10 or 12 years with him, and he was always just, I had to ask him what he saw, and he would tell me, but he was always very respectful, and he would always say, hey, be yourself.
I'd love this, man. I mean, that you played for him, and now you're the coach of this program, taking him into the Sweet 16 with legit chances. There's no question in my mind, legit chances. Just watching the way that you play, it is a physical brand of basketball. That's what you definitely need to get into some of these Donnybrooks to survive and advance. Do you think that you're looked at, or Ivy League smart kids, they can't beat us? Like, that is a legit thought in the minds of your opponents, Coach?
Yeah, I think it probably is, but their coaches are telling them they don't buy into that.
Yeah, right.
I think we're probably beyond that now. We've done enough, and there's so much at stake. There's only 16 teams left. Creighton's a heck of a ball team. They're really good. They're a heck of a team, and so, like, I think at this point, I don't think you sneak up in on anyone, but if you play with savvy which no one's given us a chance, and I think you have to build on that a bit. Not that nobody believes in us, but
right.
What got us here was toughness, and they're both mental and physical. And I think you have to ride that and be who you are. And so, if somebody wants to underestimate us, that's great. But I doubt that'll happen. Coach McDermott's a great coach. What does happen, as you know, is the crowd gets involved in its neutral site. And we have a great alumni base. It's a really fun and great place to go to school, and people love Princeton. Sometimes too much. They'll tell you, all the time that they went there. But we had such support in Sacramento, and I think that matters too.
So who have you heard from? From the Princeton alumni base, you drop a name here. What do you got for me?
The people that normally, don't hear from a bunch, but Senator Bradley, which is we have his number retired here, number 42 across all the different sports. That was fun. I've become close with Steve Kerr, whose father went to Princeton, and Steve obviously went to Arizona. That was fun.
Hold on a second. I got to stop you there. Did you hear from him? Did you hear from him after you bounced Arizona, though?
He wrote me a note saying, like, something like, darn it, Mitch. And then I look up to him so much and become friends. And that was a fun one. And Golden State's in the middle of a lot of important things, but
yes.
Everybody's watching.
Yeah.
Everybody pays attention to these things, and the last 2 days has just been insane for our guys. They've become celebrities here in our town. And Princeton, Rich, is it's like a town that goes back to the founding of the country. Like, it's like a very, cool place to live. But, this is really fun for us.
I love it. Mitch Henderson, head coach of Princeton basketball. Just want to linger on your history, if we don't mind, a little bit here. Were you a draftee of the New York Yankees once upon a time?
Yeah.
That's a true story?
So I got drafted in the 4th round by the Yankees out of high school. I had already decided to come play for Coach Carrillo, and I had been admitted to Princeton. I remember distinctly, June 4th, 1994, I got a call from the Yankees. Hey, we just acquired you. What are your plans? And, I'm excited, and I said, I've been admitted to Princeton. And the guy goes, go to Princeton, click, and hung up.
Are you serious?
That's exactly what he said. It was great. It was great. So it took all the any decision I may have made out of my hands.
Do we know? Do you remember who it was? Was it?
It was a guy that literally. I mean, I can't tell you, but he was like, straight out of central casting for a baseball scout voice. I don't even know. He's probably had a big chewing gum in his mouth. He's like, "Yeah, Mitch, what are your plans?"
So you're saying I've been admitted to Princeton to go to Princeton. So was it Costanza? I mean, I'm trying to figure it out. In the 90s, could have been George Costanza.
I know. I love the Seinfeld so much. No, it wasn't. But I did play baseball here for a year.
Okay.
And you'll appreciate this. So yes. I had 10 turnovers in a game my freshman year, which is just ridiculous. I'm embarrassed to say it.
Okay.
And Coach Carrill, the next day, when he's talking to the team, he sits me down and we called it going down the line. So he would talk about you in front of all of your teammates all the time.
Yeah.
And it would sort of give you an indication. It was always truthful. It always hurt. But it was also, he did it to everybody fairly and equally, so you always knew where you stood. He also knew where your teammates stood in his eyes. And he said, "You know what, Mitch? I'm going to come to one of your games in the spring, and I'm going to sit out behind the duck. I'm going to sit out behind home plate, all behind the fence there, and I'm going to bring my mitt, and I'm going to catch all the balls that you throw over the catcher's head, because you're going to be all the, He started a lunch into me. Oh man, but he was funny and ruthless.
Well, I mean, if that scout had not done you that favor, you could have been teammates with Jeter and been played for Torrey. Wow. I mean, those are some serious years. You'd gone through the system,
I definitely found my place here.
Of course,
what's never lost on me is sometimes you get to be the great beneficiary of a coach, and he my parents entrusted me with him and this place, and it changed my life. And he was really hard to play for, but I'm trying to do this to my own version of the same thing here, which is get these guys to be the best versions of themselves. And it's in the middle of February, we were fighting. Like I told you, we had a tough loss at Dartmouth. I mean, we were hurting. And it's really fun when something like this comes together.
Man, it just feels like, I don't mean to in any way, shape, or form peg it, but it just feels like Hoosiers, And I understand you got more than just four on the floor, and I understand you're doing more than just the picket fence. But, I mean, you're going against Creighton, and then to survive and advance here, you could have Alabama on the other side. And I'm wondering, do you think about that now? I mean, I'm sure you got assistants cutting tape just in case here, but this is real, man. Like, that's Princeton versus Alabama. My goodness. I mean, that would be something for the ages, Coach, to be very honest.
In the Ivy League, we play back-to-backs. That's how we play. We don't miss class. We go to school. We play on Fridays and Saturdays. So you're always preparing for two games on a weekend. And if we were fortunate to win on Friday, we do play Sunday. We'd be ready for the two teams on the other end. But, I think winning one game at a time, being yourself and what we are right now, I have full confidence we can be successful. We are playing our best. And I think our best is pretty darn good. And you've seen enough games.
Yes.
I like us because of I think it's the things that I've seen over the years in the tournament that make you successful.
Oh, absolutely. No turnovers, empty trips end on the spot. You don't give an extra shot. You're not giving up the offensive rebounds. I mean,
bad shots.
Right. And then when the other team starts to miss and you clean up their mess right away and then convert it to points, the pressure builds. You see it on the other. You see it on the other side, and you feel it in the arena. And you do have that sort of benefit that other teams begin to sweat. You can make them sweat, and I'm loving watching it.
I appreciate that. And what you might enjoy, and I know my time with you is limited.
So no, go for it.
Tell you this too. One of the things that also factors in that most people wouldn't know, but I know that Creighton's really good and we could lose too, but
sure.
if you think of what gets you to a certain place, we don't have transfers. We're not dealing in the portal. We have a different model. And what makes us unique is the fact that the guys are all pretty They're really close. Of course, most good teams are, but they celebrate the things that they're learning from one another. So we have a guy that speaks Chinese, one guy that can tell you any flag in the world. If he sees it, he can tell you what country it is. You know, our best players from Newcastle, England, and our guys have learned a lot from him. He used to be in the Newcastle Football Club.
Okay.
When he was young, he got started with basketball late. So I think that they celebrate the things and each other that are different. And we're in school today. Guys are in class. We leave tomorrow. We have senior thesis they have to write. They're at a school where they are, they're just like everybody else in a way. And I think there's some humility and some funness in that, and you kind of feel like you're in it together with others. And I'm not sure if that makes sense, but to me it does in terms of playing better.
Yeah, sure. But what you're saying is they have a name, and their image and likeness is what they see in the mirror. That's basically it. That's the NIL.
Exactly.
That's it's amazing, man. It is amazing, and this has been a great conversation. I've really enjoyed chopping this up with you, Mitch.
I've been a big fan of yours, so thanks for having me on.
Oh, a pleasure, a pleasure. And, you know, you did bust a few brackets around here, but to hell with them. You know what I mean? You got to do what you got to do.
Yeah.
And so congrats on making it to the Sweet 16, and I do hope we get to speak again very soon. Thanks for the time here.
I'd enjoy that.
Right, okay. Back at you. That's,
thanks a lot.
You got it. That's Mitch Henderson, head coach of Princeton basketball, right here on the Rich Eisen Show. Fun chat there.
Yeah.
Some great stories we're hearing today.
Awesome. That's why we do this.
I know. How do you not? By the way, I think he likes his chances. And I think he knows what wins basketball games, and he's seeing it from his guys. And could you imagine Princeton versus Alabama for the right to get to the Final Four? I know that Creighton and San Diego State are more than just the speed bumps here. That it could be Creighton versus San Diego State just as easy. But Princeton versus Alabama.
Mm. In.
Wouldn't you be in for that?
Yeah, totally.
On Sunday?
Let's go.
Let's go.
Let's go.
I'm wondering if they'd make that the final game of the day. With the Alabama fan base and Ivy League versus the SEC for the right to go to the Final Four in Houston.
Wow.
That's what's so great about this tournament too, man. I when I said Hoosiers, it does. They're in class today. They got to go do their senior thesis. This is amazing. So much fun. 844-204-RICH, number to dial. When we come back, the man known as Bake. He's got a golden doodle Irish setter and a dream. That's Baker Mayfield of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers joining us next right here on the Rich Eisen Show.
Have you noticed how a lot of insurance commercials are kind of gimmicky? They've got jingles and mascots and they try to be real cute and clever. But really what matters, in fact, it's the only thing that matters, is the insurance, which is why I want to tell you about NJM. Because for over 100 years, NJM has been going about their business protecting their clients' biggest investments, their homes and their cars, with award-winning customer service. The most important thing is knowing you have the right coverage with a company you can rely on when you need them. And that's NJM. When you apply for an auto, home, or renter's policy, NJM will work with you to ensure you get the coverage that's just right for you. And when you upgrade to NJM, you could save real money on your auto insurance, better service, and possible savings. No jingles, no mascots, just great insurance. NJM. Visit njm.com/podcast for a quote to see how much you could save on your auto insurance. njm.com/podcast.
Men, do you get distracted during the day thinking about your underarms sweating, itching, or emitting an odor? Do those thoughts keep you from showing care when it counts? New and improved Dove Men Plus Care Antiperspirant with 72-hour sweat and odor protection and one-quarter moisturizing cream helps you forget about your underarms so you can be present for the moments that matter. Don't let underarm insecurities keep you at arm's distance from the ones you care about. Buy new and improved Dove Men Plus Care Antiperspirant wherever personal care products are sold. Back here on the Rich Eisen Show, live radio network, along with our Rich Eisen Show live stream on the Roku channel. Thrilled that we're here for you. Some great conversations that we've had so far from the Rich Eisen Show desk, furnished by Grainger, with supplies and solutions for every industry. Grainger is the right product for you. Call, click Grainger.com or just stop by. If you're on hold, stay on hold. We'll take your call before the end of this hour. But right now, I want to hop on the phone line and welcome it. It's been a long time. And he's been through a lot. He's been through a lot. Last time we spoken to him, he was a mere Brown back in the day.
Several teams ago.
And now he is with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers with a real shot to start this season and get back on being the great Baker Mayfield, who's back here on the Rich Eisen Show. How you doing, Baker?
I'm doing great. It's good to hear from you, Rich.
Good to hear from. Good to be heard from. It's been too long. It has been too long. Last time we spoke, I don't believe you had a Golden Doodle Irish Setter that I heard all about today.
No, we did not. So that anniversary is actually a year tomorrow when we drove up and adopted him. So he's pretty much running our lives, and not much else I can say besides that.
What's his name? What's the dog's name?
Fergus. You know what? He was named when we adopted him, so there's no rhyme or reason.
Okay.
I don't know if it was short for Ferguson or what it is, but he acts like a Fergus.
But you adopted, man. You adopted. You didn't shop. You rescued this dog, huh, Baker?
You know what? Rescued him from a small house fire. No, I actually didn't do that. No, we drove up and just got him from a rescue place in Dallas. So
fantastic.
It's a great thing to do.
Fantastic. So wait for it. Here, I'm going to make this turn. I hope you don't mind. So not the only person on this phone who knows about being rescued from the dog pound, is what you're saying. Baker, do you like that one? Is that a good one? Is that a good one?
Oh, Rich, you always got something.
Wow. Yo.
I mean, you must be jacked about this opportunity, Baker. You must be totally jacked about this.
Yeah, I mean, it's organizationally, I mean, they've had success for a long time. Obviously, in recent years, they've had a great guy running the show. So it's I'm excited. You know, there's still a ton of the key pieces that won a Super Bowl here. And I respect Coach Bowles a lot. I'm excited for what this offense can become under Coach Canales and see where it's headed, just to utilize these weapons and see where it can go.
So how did this all materialize? Was this something that happened only recently, or you were kind of two camps circling each other for a few weeks? What do you got for me on that front, Baker?
Yeah, I think all the reports came out that, you know, it was an interest definitely from both sides, but it just had to become a reality and to be realistic for both sides, and just definitely a place I wanted to go. It's a stable organization from top down. They're all about winning, and that's what I wanted, and ultimately it became the best decision for us as a family moving forward.
And so are you in a competition, or what how has this been described to you?
Yeah,
Baker.
It's a competition. So Kyle Trask and I will be competing for the job.
Mm-hmm.
But you know what? The one thing that I've learned over the past few years is, you know what? Everybody's got a role. Everybody's got to be able to handle it and move forward towards the same goal of winning. And whatever that role is, I mean, we're going to compete. There's no doubt about that. But whatever role that we both end up having after this, it's going to be all geared towards winning.
Do you know Mike Evans? Have you crossed paths with him in any way, shape, or form? I'm just trying to.
I do. Yeah, I know my Texas guy pretty well.
Pretty much.
You know, we're not best friends, but we're about to become pretty close. I'm looking forward to working with him and Godwin and Russell Gage and all our other weapons.
And the rest of the crew. I mean, when I heard this, Baker, I'll share it with you. I mean, I thought this is a perfect spot. It is a perfect spot. It's a spot that you should have wanted to go to, and I sensed that this was a possibility, and the weapons that are there, the system that is there, the opportunity that is there, is kind of rare for it to be available, right? Where you got weapons exactly. there and you got a coach that's been there and done it, and an organization that's so close to having had a playoff season, and it's not a fire sale going on. Like, there's a lot of boxes that you could check here with this
exactly.
opportunity.
You know, normally, like you said, normally when it's an opportunity like this, it is because the bad things have happened. But no, it's just because the greatest quarterback of all time happened to retire. So, it's one of those opportunities that I think I would be kind of stupid not to take it. So I think you're exactly right that it's a great fit. And so I'm excited about it.
Is he somebody you reach out to? I know you shared at least a commercial moment with TB12 back in the day for the Super Bowl.
I did get to hold a lot of those rings.
That's right.
I think he's had two since then.
It's possible. It's possible. You'll probably pass one of them in the case there in Tampa.
It's been a bunch, yeah. We have some mutual friends, but no, I have not talked to him, so we'll see.
Okay. And when you mentioned, you know, the opportunity, you and your wife, your dog going there, I mean, where do you look at your station in the NFL right now, Baker, and the opportunity you have in front of you and what you'd want to make out of this for you and your family that you've mentioned a couple times?
Yeah, I mean, it's obviously a one-year deal. But to me, this is the start of the next chapter. This is a great opportunity for me to showcase what I'm capable of from a quarterback standpoint, and just a leader as well. You know what? If I'm able to play well enough here to where I get extended here, that's awesome. That means it went truly well. And if not, and I'm not extended here, then you know what? I'll roll with the punches and see what the next chapter is. And that's just kind of how I've learned to operate throughout my whole life. And we'll make the most of it no matter where we're at.
I mean, you want to talk about rolling with punches? You and I have not spoken since the Rams Thursday night. I mean, is it true you only knew like one or two plays going into that game against the Raiders? Baker.
No, I definitely studied like I was studying for the SAT.
I bet.
So I knew a little bit more, but I had only had about 10 reps total before that during the practice.
But it's definitely the first time you had McVay in your ear. And I've been told it's just like it's just a chatterbox. It's just nonstop with him in your ear, right? Isn't that
It was I mean, that's true, but also at the same time, we had nothing to lose. It was a fun opportunity and one of those memories I'll cherish forever.
I bet so. I mean, what is your recollection of that night? You got a good story from that night that I have not heard potentially? Or what do you got for me, Baker?
Let me see here. Night? You know what? During the 2-minute drive, we hadn't covered like the clocking the ball mechanics, and everybody's got a specific cadence that they use during those situations. And after we completed it, I completed a kind of a shallow to Ben Skoranek. He got tackled in bounds, got the first down, and we needed to clock the ball. And Brian Allen, our center, came up to me and was screaming in my face the cadence for the clocking the ball. So that was one of those things that, like, even in the midst of the 2-minute drive, I'm still learning the offense.
So he was basically, as you're running to go clock the ball, giving you the mechanics of how everyone needs to follow what he's screaming you in your face, and you're realizing in the real time moment, he's giving you vital information. Is that
exactly? That's one of those things that if you don't have it, then you get a 10-second runoff and the game could be over at that point. So.
Oh my God. That was unbelievable. That's truly one of the most amazing circumstances I've ever seen unfold. And obviously of someone of your stature and for a nationally televised audience to have a front row seat.
Yeah, I mean, it's one of those things. It's unbelievable. And thankful for my short stint there and all those guys that you got to enjoy it with.
Do you ever sit around, Baker, and think about, you know, your journey from hearing your name first called on that night in Dallas, Texas, to the present day? Do you ever sit around and, you know, wonder about why things happen or what can happen from here? Do you ever sit around and take that sort of stock, Baker, or no?
I think I used to, now everything happens for a reason. Trusting in God's plan that I'm going to be where I'm supposed to be, and I'm going to make the most of it. And I have to trust that. And I think the last year has definitely taught me that, to really go with that flow and try and help as many people out along the way as I can. And so Yeah, if I was to think about what could have been, I'd be harping on the wrong things instead of realizing what I have now and trying to make the most of it.
Attaboy. Well, look, man, it was great to run into you at the Super Bowl and to have you here in your new spot. Again, I think you landed in a great, great, great spot, man. Truly.
I appreciate that.
You got it. You got it. And does that mean that you're not going to be a stranger here? Like, do I get you calling in regular? Yeah. I mean, not like McAfee, that. Like I need you every Tuesday. But, you know, like, what do you think? Can I get you some form of...
We won't have a weekly appointment, but I'll talk to you.
Like what? Lerona said, like, acknowledge me when we run into each other? Or just, like, come, you know, come back on? Like, what do you think?
Yeah, absolutely.
for sure.
I'm not convinced.
5 monthly.
No, I don't feel like I'm even getting a commitment, guys.
You know I mean, like you, Rich.
That's all I was looking for, Baker. Damn it. But I appreciate the aforementioned. All right, say hi to Fergus. Give him a that wasn't the dog on the podcast, right? The belly up dog on the podcast from last summer? That was someone else's dog?
No, that was somebody else's. Yep.
Okay, because you got to give those dogs
a dog.
I mean, you're a dog person. You know, you got to give that belly a scratch, man. I'm talking about the dog, Fergus.
That dog?
Okay, very good. Thanks for the call, Baker Mayfield. You're the man. You be well. That is the new quarterback in Tampa, Florida. That's Baker Mayfield here on the Rich Eisen Show. All right, there goes Baker.
I think he's going to play well, man.
The division's open. Let's be honest.
Wide open.
Atlanta is, as we all know, not in on Lamar. We don't think they are.
Who knows?
We don't think they're one of the
reported.
Teams. Right. And so it's Desmond Ritter's first full season there as they go about their business there. Carolina's going to have a first-year starter as well.
Yep.
And New Orleans has got Derek Carr coming in, and that alone will place them in many people's minds at the top of the list because of Derek Carr's history with the Raiders and his lengthy starting career. And then there's Baker, who's going to stroll in and start slinging it around to Mike Evans and Godwin. Let's go. I think
for sure.
I think the Bucs have an opportunity for sure. Yeah.
I think so.
The division is wide open. Totally wide open. The same thing with the NFC North.
Yeah, those two are going to be I think the most fun and unpredictable as we head into the season.
Mark in Cleveland, Ohio has been hanging on for a while. I think it's perfect time to bring Mark in. What's up?
Hey Rich, how you doing?
Thanks for hanging on as long as you did. Little stroll down memory lane with Baker. Right there for you in Cleveland? Mark?
Yes, sir. I'm actually from Detroit originally, so I wanted to say go blue first.
Attaboy. There's lots of us there.
I know. I'm in a safe space when I'm listening to your show, so I appreciate it.
It's all good. It's all good. Way to go. You sound smart to me, Mark. You sound smart to me.
My question is for based off Detroit Lions. I've been a lifelong fan, and I was just curious what you thought of their offseason with their free agency signings of C.J. Gardner-Johnson, Cam Sutton, Emmanuel Mosley, David Montgomery, and Graham Glasgow. If the Jets finally get Aaron Rodgers, do you think the Lions can make some noise? And then the NFC
the Jets season? Will eventually get Aaron Rodgers. Hey, you know, the bandwagon's is starting to fill, right? The Honolulu Blue bandwagon. Say that 10 times
Big
fast.
Time. Big time. Lions
why not?
Favored to win the division.
Why not? They played the best football in that division last 6 weeks of 2022. I don't think I'm telling any tales out of school that the Vikings, you could say, and thanks for the call, Mark. I appreciate it. Not to have you hang on and listen to me prattle on here, but look it up. You got the Google there in front of you. The Vikings record after the Munich game. And the reason why I say the Munich game, they weren't in it, but I was in Germany, and that's where after calling Bucks versus Seahawks, we watched all of the games in a makeshift viewing room in a conference room in our hotel in downtown Munich.
What week was that?
The reason why I bring it up is that's where I saw the remarkable Justin Jefferson one-handed grab against Buffalo.
Oh,
that
okay.
game.
Yeah, so that was Week 10.
After week 10, what did Minnesota finish? Like 3-3, 4-3 or something like that?
No. 5-3. 5-3.
What did Detroit finish in their last eight? They might have been 5-3 too.
Detroit in their last eight, six. Well, no, they won
three.
They were 8-2
in their last 10.
In their last 10.
What about their last eight?
They were.
I'm just trying to figure this out.
6-2. They were 2-6.
Brother, they played the best football in that division to wrap things up.
As we all know, they were 1-6.
As we all know, the Bears didn't win after starting 2-1. That's why they were drafting first overall.
Yeah, the Lions were 1-6.
And they have made some moves. Boy, do I like them. C.J. Gardner-Johnson, you bring him in. David Montgomery is going to have to come up with enough touchdowns to supplant Jamal Williams' 17. But a lot of those were like on the 2-yard line.
I mean again,
David Montgomery could score from there too.
If you subscribe to the anybody can score inside the five, then Montgomery will put up very similar numbers to what Jamal Williams did.
I like him.
I think you're not.
Am I going to do it? Am I going to do it? Should I do it now?
You're not going to.
Should
be
I do
one.
It now?
They're the betting favorite, so it's not a limb that you're going out on. But
the Detroit Lions are currently the betting favorites to win the NFC North.
Correct.
Wow.
Different times.
The bandwagon's full.
It's full, yeah.
But for good reason, I think.
I think so. I mean, look, we all laughed at Dan Campbell a couple of years ago, the thing and all that. But, I mean, they've really put something together. They play for him. They play hard. And let's be honest, Jared Goff, little renaissance here for him.
They also have two first-round draft choices. Two.
Their one is
the worst of the two, the one that they bring to the table.
And they essentially get a first-round wide receiver because he barely played last year.
Yeah. But no way is this Lions bandwagon filled.
You don't think so? I think
there's got to be more room. No one's been on the Lions for long enough to say that the wagon is full.
So then let me hop on an empty seat.
Yeah, there's seats on that band.
I'm in. Good, fine. I'll take a seat. I'll take a seat now.
Do it. Division? Calling it?
I'm calling.
Say the words.
Home playoff game, Detroit Lions for the 2023 season. Done.
Let's go.
Now then. It was right around this time I said the same thing about the Raiders last year, which is.
We talking playoffs?
To date. Worst football take I've had in the 8-plus-year history of the program.
I mean, that's playing the result.
It is playing the result because the result's terrible.
But at the time, there was a lot of momentum similar.
Well, especially since I hopped off of the wagon that somebody had been riding 6 consecutive years and then took to the Super Bowl podium.
It'd been a winning wagon, and you were like, yeah, let me just try.
Not just a winning wagon. I mean, the wagon has got a lot of banners hanging from it.
Now that wagon's full.
Okay, so I...
Yeah,
I was one of the many who downgraded the team that had the eventual MVP and eventual Super Bowl run.
Yeah. I mean, you thought the...
So, Detroit Lions, grain of salt. There's a huge grain of salt. There's a silo of salt from this whole thing. But I will say this. I'm in. Because you know at 6th overall, they're going to get a tremendous football player.
Yep.
Tremendous football player. And then after that, they're going to sit back at 18 and get another really good football player who could be just as tremendous as the guy they chose 6 overall, or they trade back. Could you imagine if somehow, someway, Anthony Richardson's still available at 6?
I don't think that's going to happen.
I don't.
But it could.
I don't know. That this was that somehow, someway, the Colts and the Seahawks don't take Anthony Richardson. And he's sitting there, and it's possible that that happens, that they, you know, love the player that's on the draft board, and they're not going to pass up on that for a quarterback that they don't need.
But if they're win now, they're, you know, I mean, he doesn't really help you this year with Goff playing as well.
I'm saying they don't choose Anthony Richardson.
Someone trades up with them.
Yeah, man.
Yeah.
And they start collecting picks.
Suddenly they're in a weird spot, an unfamiliar spot.
In. I'm not lone wolf. No. By the way, you're drunk on the drops. He's drunk. He's drop drunk.
That's a good team name.
Hey, listen. I'm not lone wolfing. I want to get in on this before the summer.
About the summer.
Oh, they're going to be asking me to get off the bandwagon so I could, for you know, a later bandwagon just to sell the seats on this oversold bandwagon.
Yeah. Secondary market bandwagon.
By the summer? Secondary market bandwagon? Is that a fantasy team name?
Maybe. Drunk on drops?
Drunk on drops. I like the drops.
Hey, give Jay Felly credit. He's paying attention.
Hey. True. 844-204-RICH, number dial here on the Rich Eisen Show. When we come back, I'll tell you before DJ Moore joins us why I wasn't watching the World Baseball Classic last
night. Okay. I'm excited to hear
this. Was that a movie premiere?
Ooh.
No, not a premiere.
Oh.
Is that a movie screening? I watched a movie. That's coming up next. I'll tell you which one. It's
was
pretty
it a
cool.
Bear with cocaine?
Definitely not. Oh. Definitely not anymore. Monster.com can help you tackle the job hunt and make your next career move. In football and in life, there's the regular season, and then there's the playoffs. Monster.com knows that scoring your next job, that's a playoff moment. To bring your A game, you need Monster.com. Looking to change positions and join a new team? Monster can help. Monster.com has millions of job openings and great coaching and career advice for a strong performance when it counts. Plus, when you upload your resume to Monster.com, you can be recruited by employers before they even post their jobs. Monster.com specializes in building the right teams for employers and knows how to match you with those job fits. When you score the position, Monster.com's salary calculator ensures you're paid what you're worth. The regular season is history, and we all know the playoffs are no time for messing around. It's time to get off the sidelines and go to Monster.com and win the job hunt. Monster.com. Back here on the Rich Eisen Show. You just missed on our Roku channel only segment. I baited Chris Brockman into saying something totally insane.
Actually, that's not that hard to believe.
Oh,
because
No, excuse me. Just let me walk through this.
Walk it out.
Thank you, sir.
Yeah.
Talked about Dante Hightower retiring after 11 terrific years and legitimately talked about how many incredible plays that he made that might not be on the highlight reel because we're focused on the Malcolm Butler interception or we're focused on the, you know, James White touchdown that won it in overtime, right?
Or the Edelman catch or...
The Boston knee party.
Or all of that.
All those games. But Hightower's defensive play set up all of them.
Sure did.
And then you said he's going to get in the Patriot Hall of Fame where you get a red jacket for
Without question.
And you said there's going to be a lot of red jackets given
red
out in the next few
Edelman,
years.
Edelman, McCourty, Brady.
And I mentioned Zeus. Bailey Zappi's red jacket night. It's going to be awesome. Nice. You told me you then hated me?
Yep. That was cool. Knee jerk.
And then you said, when's that going to happen? I said, week 6 of this year, to which you now say Mac Jones is making the Pro Bowl this year.
Guaranteed.
Okay. Now, in order for me to bite on this, and this has to be the way you're saying it, the three guys who get the first shot at it.
That's
not
what,
like,
that's
oh,
not
no.
What I said.
No. It's not like he makes it because, oh, Joe Burrow's got a hangnail and he didn't win the AFC Championship game. Or, oh, Josh Allen suddenly is all wobbly.
Well, somebody's going to the Super Bowl.
You know,
and
like
that quarterback will make the Pro Bowl.
It's not the Tyler Huntley of this equation.
Top five.
Is he backtracking now? Is that what's happened?
No. Absolutely not.
Mac Jones. I know you're excited Bill O'Brien's coming back, and you think that that's going to be the end of that.
I'm excited because I have no choice. Okay?
Yes, you do. You have choices.
I don't have choices.
Of being a fan without saying the most outrageous things like that.
Juju's coming. Gesicki's coming. D-Hop, maybe. I don't know.
Well, that's part of your news coming up next hour, is that there's apparently a hot market, and just because Belichick was caught on a hot mic before the Patriots got the break of Kyler Murray blowing his knee out against him last Thursday night.
Oh, they would have won that anyway.
Oh, okay, got it. So, at any rate, long story short is Belichick goes up to DeAndre Hopkins and says, I think you're awesome. Thank goodness we only play you once every 4 years. That means he's going to suddenly pay DeAndre Hopkins to bring Mac Jones to the Pro Bowl that you're saying he's going to get.
Mac Jones Pro Bowl.
Understood. Fantastic. Book it.
Book it.
Write it down.
Guess where Susie and I went last night? We went to the screening of the new film, Air.
Hey.
Oh, nice.
The Ben Affleck directed, and he also plays Phil Knight.
Right.
in the film, and Matt Damon plays Sonny Vaccaro in the film, all about Nike signing Michael Jordan back in the day.
Cool.
And
from Dark Knight to Film Knight.
Look at you. Look at you doing that sort of thing.
Not just a pretty
There's a
face.
Few other films in between for Ben Affleck.
Yeah, sure.
You know, like an Oscar-winning directing performance for Argo.
That was Batman.
So I got to tell you, this movie is fantastic. Fantastic.
Yeah? Okay.
It felt like it was 5 minutes long. I wanted it to go another 5 hours. An absolute pop culture delight. You know, the opening scenes do remind me a little of Winning Time. It's right around the same time. You know?
Mid-80s.
Yep. And they go straight down to pop culture wormhole to start. And it's great to see Matt Damon and Ben Affleck on the same screen again. And they're terrific. Jason Bateman's great in it. Viola Davis is Jordan's mom. Spectacular. And it's so much fun to watch. And it's one of those two where you're on the edge of your seat and you know, spoiler alert, Jordan signs with Nike. And you guys will love it too because you guys are shoe nuts.
Yeah, I can't wait. No, is this a theatrical release or is this going to stream?
It's a theatrical release.
Okay.
Yeah, I think it comes out the Tuesday after, the day after the national, the week of the national championship game.
Yeah. I saw an interview with Affleck where he said that Michael Jordan's only request in the movie for the movie was that Viola Davis play his mother.
Well, they checked that box, sir.
Yeah.
And she is phenomenal in it. Phenomenal. It's so much fun.
Who does Chris Tucker play in the movie?
He plays one of the Nike executives.
Okay.
In the film. He's terrific in it. Chris Messina, who plays David Falk, is terrific as well. Honestly, there's not a weak link in it.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it.
The music is all from the era. It's really well done, you know. And they utilize at one point of the film, not to have any spoiler alert, they utilize music that the Bulls always introduced Michael Jordan to.
Nice.
At the right time. They use that perfectly. At the right time. And I also did not know, because I'm not a shoe nut like you guys are, didn't know that the NBA required the shoe to be mostly white back
did
in the day.
Did you never see his interview with David Letterman about that?
No.
Oh, Rich, you got to go to YouTube and watch.
Jordan, you mean?
Jordan and Letterman. And Letterman makes an all-time joke about what you just said about the shoe.
I will do that because I'm fascinated about the subject now. That's another great part about the movie is not only sticks with you the next day, but you want to learn more about
Rich
it.
Rich is going to come in tomorrow wearing some ones.
Oh, man, we can only hope, bro.
Now I know what you mean by that joke. Now I know what you mean.
That's my number one. I think I have 20 pairs of ones.
Well, it's pretty cool. It's really, really.
Yeah, I can't wait. For
superbly
this.
Well done.
I have more questions, but now I don't even want to know.
Yeah,
I'm just going
to
wait. You've seen, I'm sure, the trailer of it. And you're like, well, that does look good. Well, the movie is just as good as the trailer. Very, very well done.
Nice.
Two enthusiastic thumbs up.
Rich Ebert.
DJ Moore of the Bears joining us shortly, speaking of Chicago.
Popcorn situation? Or?
No, it was a screening and then a Q&A afterwards.
Oh, okay, cool.
Yeah.
Who was there for the A part of it?
Jason Bateman.
Oh.
And Chris Messina, again, who plays David Falk. Marlon Wayans, who plays
George Raveling.
George Raveling. Yes, plays George Raveling.
Sweet. I saw Jay Moore is also in it.
Jay Moore is in it. Yep. Yep, Jay Moore is in it. Good to see him back in a sports movie. Yeah.
Sweet.
Really well done. The Converse executives, the Adidas executives, the Nike executives. Ben Affleck deciding he'll play Phil Knight himself. It's fun. There's some funny lines in it. And Matt Damon's just...
I mean,
he's so likable.
It's
Affleck
and David, man. Yeah.
Matt Damon is Sonny Vaccaro. It's just great.
Yeah.
And I don't know if Damon went back for the chicken palms, but he does have the gut.
Oh, I wonder if it's prosthetic. Or
no, I'm sure. Knowing him, he has the chicken palms, and then he just works it.
Right, and then he gets back into born shape.
Right. Yeah. Please.
Yeah.
Some people have it, some do not.
Eh, we are a bunch of do-nots.
Don't include me. Don't include me in that.
I'm with you.
Yeah. You can include me.
All right, you can include me.
Now I want chicken palm.
Chicken palm.
Chicken palm.
Remember that when he was telling that story here?
I know, and then he just kind of like
he was telling that story about getting that, how he had to get in shape for being born, and he had to stop eating chicken palm. And I said, it sounds just like you said chicken palm, and he denied it, but he said it that way.
No one in the wrestling business has experienced the trials and tribulations, along with redemptions and longevity, quite like Jeff Jarrett. Come along for the ride on the My World with Jeff Jarrett podcast.
They didn't really brand belts in the heyday of boxing. You know, Muhammad Ali, Sugar Ray Leonard. I mean, they had them, but along comes sports entertainment, professional wrestling, and now it is truly a part of pop culture. They've just branded what it looks like to be a champion.
My World with Jeff Jarrett, wherever you listen.